Praise God. Amen. I believe for those of you who want to take your children to, the children's area, Pastor Dom instructed me to make sure. Go ahead and you can go out now. Make sure you sign them up and go from there. Amen. Praise God. Man, what a blessing it is to be here. Amen. Let me just introduce myself. My name is Luis Diaz. I am the lead pastor of HCF Eastside, which is Hope Christian Fellowship Eastside. We're a church plant of a gentleman that was here, I think, a couple weeks ago. His name was Pastor Alfonso Galvano, another Italian guy who is probably, he probably had humor all through his sermon and talking to him one-on-one. I told him he should have been a stand-up comedian, you know, if he wasn't a pastor. He is hilarious, but he was a mentor in my life, still a mentor in my life. He's still covering in my life. I've learned so much of pastoral work with him. And so we are a church plant of that, and we are located on North Goodman Street. Amen. And I encourage you, continue walking your walk with the Lord. For those of you who are walking with Jesus, if you don't know Jesus today, today is an opportunity to hear the scriptures, and hopefully you think critically about where your life is at this moment. Amen. Now, Pastor Dom gave me the task of continuing in Galatians. At first, he gave me Galatians 15 all the way through the end of the chapter. And I told him, I said, man, you gave me the meat of the entire book. But then he thought about it, and not that I was complaining in any way. You know, he said, no, I just want you to focus on this section right here. He actually gave me five verses. So today we're going to be working through Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 through 20. If you have your Bibles, turn there, hold there for a second, we'll get into it in a second. But Pastor Dom, I was texting him earlier this week over in Kenya, and he just wanted to send his greetings to the church here. They're doing the work. Now, if you don't know this, we've partnered with Rescue Revive, our church on the east side. I went with him to Kenya back in March when he went out. And one of the desires they wanted to do over there next to the church that they built was to build an orphanage. And by God's grace, our church took on the task of raising the funds to buy two plots of land. And we were able to raise $6,000. And that's the reason why he's in Kenya right now, is to purchase that land. So hopefully, God willing, we can start seeing construction of the orphanage in that area. And because I've been there and I saw it with my own eyes, you see a lot of children that are orphaned in that area. And it's a rural area. It's not an area that is congested with a lot of people, but it's an area in which there's a lot of need. Amen. And I just thank God through Rescue and Revive, we've been able to partner them to do that. Amen. Now, before we get started, I don't know about you, but could you look to your neighbor, to your right, to your left, in front of you, and back behind you? Could you just give them a high five and declare this? His mercy endures forever. I know that's probably not something you're used to here. Right? I know that's probably not normal. But just look to your neighbor. Just say, his mercy endures forever. Amen? Praise God. Don't be shy. You know, listen, there you go. There you go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Good to see that. Amen. You know, I know Sundays we come and we see the back of each other's head, and you know, but really the church are the people, right? We're the church. It's not this building. Yeah, we come to the building and we gather together as an assembly, and we praise God together. We listen to the word of God. But the church is people. And I noticed on a theme on the bulletin is growing in Christ together. And this is the reality. The way you grow in Christ is how you fellowship with one another as well. Amen. And so one thing we try to breed from Hope Christian Fellowship is the term fellowship. And so whether it's in the four walls or whether it's outside grabbing coffee together or inviting someone over to dinner, that's a brother or sister in the faith, I encourage you, practice these things, because it is there where the Spirit of God begins to minister one to another. Amen? So I just want to challenge and encourage you in that area. So, as I've said this morning, I've been tasked to touch on Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 through 20. Now, if you remember last week, Pastor Dom went through verses 1 through 14 in chapter 3. And so Paul began the chapter in verse 1 with a bold question. He's challenging the church in Galatia, and he says, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you? Now, it's as if Paul is saying, who cast a spell on you? Who has confused your faith? And let me say this, man. We live in a time where there are just so many voices. There's so many voices on social media. There's voices and people in our work setting. There are family members who's got voices. And everybody's got an opinion. And everybody has a statement. And everybody believes they're an authority on something. Amen? And yet, when it comes to the church, we have the doctrines of Scripture. And these doctrines have not changed from the very beginning. However, there's a battle going on for what you believe. See, the Galatians started believing the words of what we call the Judaizers of the time. The Judaizers were men who of Jewish background who believed in Christ, however, did not understand the means of grace. That the old covenant in the Old Testament done with Moses was satisfied in the work and life of Christ. And now they felt like we have to continue on, because part of their Jewishness was their identity in keeping the law. And so now they probably felt like, man, my identity is being stripped here. These Gentiles are coming in and now receiving salvation because of what Christ has done. And no, they got to be like us. And so the Judaizers were pressing a works mindset. And not only that, they desired that they would mutilate themselves, that the men would take on this outward symbol of circumcision. And they would challenge men, no, if you really want to be saved, you need to be circumcised according to the law of Moses. And so they were pressing this issue upon the people. It's no different today. You got a lot of false teachers out there that are pressing issues. They really believe what they believe. And they're convincing. If you don't know the Word of God, if you're not in tune with the Spirit of God, if you're not being sober and vigilant, and that means taking your relationship with God seriously, you'll listen to them like, man, they make a compelling point. Oh, yeah, that sounds right. But in the end, they really just want to draw you away from Christ. Now, the Old Testament law consisted of three categories. You had the ceremonial law, which consisted with Israel's worship. You had the civil law that consisted with daily Israelite living. And then the moral law, which was the direct commands of God, like the Ten Commandments. Let me just say this. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. All right? He is the fulfillment of the law. He fulfilled it on our behalf. And we'll get into it in a little bit. But that wasn't the message Paul had preached to the church in Galatia. That wasn't what he brought to the churches, these Gentile places. He came preaching Christ crucified. He came preaching Christ buried. He came preaching Christ resurrected. He came preaching in the power of the Spirit. And know this, that every sound preaching going across the world is power, because it has the ability to transform lives. Amen? Now, just for a little bit of context, when we say Galatia or the Church of Galatians, if you didn't know this, this was a location in a region. So these was probably different cities or different towns that made up multiple churches. And yet in there, what we find is that this false teaching came and infected the church in this area. And I wonder today how many churches are infected today. What started off well in Christ now have a false gospel represented there. And so when Paul is writing this letter, he's addressing the network of churches that have all been infected with the same problem, false teaching. And now, one that places requirements on Gentiles to follow Judaic laws. Now, the fact that so many believers in Galatia, even so many believers today, are swayed so easily reveals something about the human heart. Humans are fickle. Humanity is fickle. See, I've titled this message, The Fickleness of Man. What do I mean by that? See, in Christianity, the fickleness of man refers to our tendency to be inconsistent, right? Unstable, unreliable, more specifically in our walk with God. This happens throughout all churches across the world. Doesn't matter if you're in a third world country, doesn't matter if you're here in America. You find an inconsistency amongst the people of God. We can be passionate, faithful one moment, and doubtful, disobedient, and forgetful the next. You ever been there? One day we're full of faith, and the next day we're wrestling with unbelief. You ever been there? One moment we're walking in devotion, and the next we're distracted by sin or self-reliance. Why? Why is this? Why do we have this? Because the battle for all of life is for what you believe. The battle for all of life is for what you believe. And if you have proper belief, it's going to produce proper actions. But if you have improper belief, you're going to have carnal actions. This is what Paul gets to later on in Galatians. Amen? That's why pastors, that's why elders, that's why deacons often repeat the same foundational truths over and over and over again. Because God's people, God's sheep, are easily drawn away by lies and some lies that are wrapped with a little bit of truth. We need to hear over and over the gospel message. You need to hear over and over what justification is. You need to hear over and over what sanctification is. You need to hear this over and over. You need the gospel message. It's not just for the lost. The gospel message is for the church as well. Hallelujah. And just like in Paul's day, one of the greatest struggles for believers, and even to our day, is legalism. Now, what is legalism? It is putting a set, strict rule upon people that they can't abide by. And that's exactly what these Judaizers were doing to the church in Galatia. Now, sometimes that comes from the pulpit. That's unfortunate. Rules are placed on people. And while rules are good, but they're placed on them spiritually speaking, and people find, I can't meet it. And they find themselves feeling in bondage when Jesus came to set people free. Sometimes it's spiritual attack. You know, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says this, that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses them before God day and night. Day and night. And so as believers, yes, we have like a threefold warfare. We got different fronts in our lives. We got the world that we live in, the systems of the world that we live in, right? We got spiritual satanic attack, and then we got this flesh we're dealing with. Our own heart sometimes misleads us. But we have this spiritual battle, and it's trying to get you to think differently than what was presented to you from the very beginning. The goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But here's the encouragement. Here's the encouragement right here. God is not accusing you. Amen. God is not accusing any one of us. See, if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you are his child. And he is pleased with you. As Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's your faith, not your performance. It's your faith, not your performance, that brings them joy. Performance is produced from proper faith. But if you think your performance, if you're caught up with a lie that's saying you got to do more, be better, you got to try harder, which all sounds good, but to make this relationship more valuable, you got it wrong. That's false teaching. That's not the Bible. So, in this portion of Galatians, Let me get here. I haven't even opened my Bible yet. Just in my introduction. Don't worry. I won't keep you too long. I guess the old pastor's joke don't go well. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. So in this portion of Galatians, Paul is defending the true gospel. He's making a defense against the lies that have come in and invaded in Galatia. They're preaching a different gospel over there, and they have believed it. In verses 1 through 14, he shows that faith is superior to the law, because faith in Christ brings justification. It brings forgiveness. It changes your identity from sinner to righteous. Right standing before God. Our faith began through the work of the Spirit and not the works of the flesh. But here they are trying to... mutilating themselves, believing the lies of these Judaizers. They're circumcising themselves as grown men. Why? Because they're trying to follow law. But they already had the promise. So Paul asks, in essence, if the Spirit began this work in you by faith, why would you now complete it by works in the flesh? Why now do you put a pressure on yourself or believe the lies of Satan that says, I'm not doing enough before God? I'm just not sufficient. Man, I'm not praying enough. I'm not reading my Bible enough. All things that we should be practicing because we are grateful for the salvation we have. But if we're doing it to try to gain favor, we're misunderstanding grace. So, to follow the law as a means of salvation is to place yourself under a curse, is what Paul says. But a better promise has come, and that's based on faith. The work of not our performance, but the work of the performance of Christ. So let's read the text. We're here. Let's read verses 15 through 20, and then we'll come back and we'll work through it verse by verse. Verse 15 says this. I'm reading out of the NASB, says this. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations. Even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say "and to seeds" as referring to many, but rather to one. And to your seed, that is Christ. What I am saying is this: the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on promise. But God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator, until the seed who should come to whom the promise has been made. Now a mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. So coming to verse 15, Paul says, even with human agreements or even with contracts that we make day in and day out, it is binding. Right, you got Isaac Heating coming to your house, and you go over and you talk about the need you have in your home, and you agree to a price. When you put your signature on it, it is binding. They are coming to do the work. You can't come and change things. Now, on some contracts, you can make addendums and make some changes based on things that may pop up. But for the most part, a contract, human contracts, once they're signed in the signature, that's it. It's established. Sadly, in our day, people often fail to keep their word. How many of you have experienced that today, right? We live in a strange generation. I remember 40 years ago, 35 years ago, when you said something, people did it. They didn't even have to sign nothing. You just handshake, good to go. Your word meant something. But today, our word is fickle. Even businesses, after signing a contract, don't even follow through properly the way they should. And now we find ourselves frustrated at times. But praise be to God that he's not like us. Amen? Our God is immutable. That simply means that he never changes. God is not a God who's fickle like the human heart. He doesn't say, well, I'm doing this, and you know what? I changed my mind. I'm not going to do it any longer. That's not God. When he says something, he's going to do it, and he keeps to it, because he is a God of his word. That, in fact, the word unto the Lord is so precious and so serious that Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will be established forever. Hallelujah. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, church. And then coming to verse 16, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Paul reminds us that the promise God made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, ultimately pointed to a multitude of descendants, but it also specifically, directly meant Christ. So the promise is to the seed, and it's not to the seeds. Yes, the seeds partake in this. We are partaking in the promise right now in Christ. But the promise was for the seed, Jesus Christ. He is the true seed. In verse 17, he says, what am I saying is this? The law, which came 430 years later, does not validate a covenant previously established by God so as to nullify the promise. In other words, God's covenant with Abraham wasn't canceled out when the law came. And that's what we're finding with false teachers today. It's interesting. I was talking to Tom earlier, Elder Tom. And while I was preparing for this sermon for this week, I came across on social media, there is a movement of Christians that are going back to law abiding. They're reading the Old Testament. And what they're declaring and saying is, we feel we should be following the laws. And I'm like, man, this has been dealt with already. Satan is just recycling old things. And now when you go onto their website, I said, okay, let me go take a look and see what's going on here. I wanted to see what their about section was. What did they believe? And they were very guile in basically providing resources that you could pay for, and then you would find out information. That's shady business to me. Anyways, we find though that the law does not cancel out the promise. Amen? Paul drives this point home. If inheritance is dependent on the law, then it wouldn't be by grace. It would be based on wages. So if I'm in relationship with God, then what I do for myself, what I perform before him, now requires, guess what? A wage. I should be recompensed. But we cannot earn our salvation. We know this. It is a free gift of God. It is the grace of God. Hallelujah. But God's promise stands apart from law. It is not earned. It is given freely. Verse 19, why then the law? It was added because of transgression until the seed will come to whom the promise has been made. So why does he say, well, what's the law? What's the reason? What's the purpose for the law? And he clearly gives us the answer, because of sin. The law is there to show us that we cannot make ourselves righteous. It's to expose sin. For if there is no law, how do I know I'm a sinner? Yeah, the Spirit of God may be convicting me. Well, how do I know? The law establishes that we are sinners before God. And if we try to keep it, that only reveals that what? I can't keep this thing perfectly. And that means I'm under a curse. I need to be set free from this curse. It showed us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now he says here, going into verse 20, now a mediator is not for one party only, but God is one. Now, Paul is referencing here, and this is what Jews believe, that when God gave the commands on Mount Sinai, it was given through angels. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen, the deacon, was preaching before the Sanhedrin, he mentions this. And we won't go there, but he mentions this in Acts 7:53, and the author of Hebrews 2:2, he mentions it as well. So they thought with the law there was a mediator, someone who came and mediated the contract that God had. And the contract that God had with Israel was conditional. Israel, if you obey my commands, you will be blessed. If you disobey my commands, drama's coming into your life. Curses are coming. You're going to struggle. So it was conditional in their relationship with God. In human covenants, a mediator is needed to reconcile two parties, right? Now, a mediator, verse 20 again, now a mediator is not for one party only, but God is one. Now, I don't know if anybody football fans here, right? I'm a football fan, Buffalo Bills, right? Go Bills. Nevertheless, at the beginning of this year and even coming all the way to right before the beginning of the season, the Dallas Cowboys had an interesting dilemma going on in their situation. The owner, Jerry Jones, was trying to re-sign their star defensive end, Micah Parsons. And according to Jerry Jones, he said he had a sit-down with Micah Parsons and they discussed about contract negotiations. And what ended up happening, he says, we had a handshake. We agreed to the terms of the deal. And so I thought everything was good to go. Well, a little bit later on, Micah Parsons' agent, the mediator, said, hold up, we got to stop this. There's no agreement here. There's no deal here. And then it became a big, ugly circus for the Dallas Cowboys to where they eventually traded Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers. So the mediator, his agent, who looks out for him and declares, you know what, this is what's fair and this is what's not, must have saw and heard what was being provided in the contract. Did not like it. But on the other end, Jerry Jones, like, my word is my bond. What we agreed to, we should sign the contract. This is why you need a mediator with human things. But when it comes to God and the promise that he made to Abraham in Genesis 12, God only needs himself. Why? Because God is able to accomplish his own word. He doesn't need false teachers. He doesn't even need us. He's able to perform what he needs to perform based on his own word. And yet, he has provided for the church leaders who will come and shepherd, elders who will look out for the souls, workers who would help accomplish goals that need to be accomplished in the church. But when it came to the promise that he made to Abraham so that Christ may come, he didn't need no man. He didn't need anybody. His word was sufficient. It would carry out its job, not needing a mediator involved. See, God is faithful to his word. Humans are fickle. At times, we're not faithful to God's word. Many times, we're not faithful to our own word. We'll make promises to people only to break it a week later, hour later, few minutes later. If God keeps his word so faithfully with so much esteem that he sees it as precious of what he has said, how much more should we? Now, let me give you some application and we'll be closing up soon here. You know, this truth that Paul lays out in Galatians isn't just a theological argument. It's a reminder to all of us today. Just like the Galatians, we are all tempted to drift from the simplicity of the gospel. What we started off with, Faith in Christ filled with His Spirit. We begin our journey in faith in the Lord, but somewhere along the line, we start measuring our standard with God by how well we perform. And many times, it's due to the voices that are around us. How many false voices are around you? I don't know. Can you be like Paul and stand and make a defense when you hear something that's a lie? You know, I challenge my church all the time. Go into the world and be the church. The world out here is full of darkness, and they have their presuppositions on who Christ is. They believe something. Can you come and invade their darkness and speak truth into their lives? Family, neighbors, friends, co-workers, you name it. Whoever you come, strangers in Walmart or wherever you go shopping. Can you have a moment in the spirit, stop for a second, and allow truth to overflow in your life? And speak honestly to people and have conversations. They don't have to be ugly. It doesn't have to be disrespectful or rude. But can you have a conversation with somebody and share Jesus? Drop the seed. And hopefully God will germinate it to fruit, unto salvation. Somewhere along the line, we've forgotten it. And many times, like I said, it's due to these false voices that are around us. We start thinking, well, if I just pray more, then maybe God will be pleased with me. We say to ourselves, if I serve harder, then maybe God will bless me. If I stop failing, maybe God will finally love me. I don't know if that's you today. I don't know if that's something you struggled with. But the truth is this. God's promises to you were never based on your performances. They were based on His covenant of grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. All the promises are yes and amen. That's what Scripture says. We may be fickle. We may change with our emotions. We may change with the circumstances. We may change with the seasons of life. But God remains the same. He doesn't revoke His promise. He doesn't second guess His own grace. He doesn't change His mind about those He's called and saved. See, when you fall short, He doesn't walk away. When your faith feels weak, He doesn't withdraw His hand. In fact, Paul tells Timothy that when we are faithless, He is faithful. He cannot deny Himself. It is His nature. It is His character. And so when I'm weak in faith, God is closer to me, strengthening me, encouraging me. When the lies are coming into my ears from the social media voices or wherever they're coming from, the Lord is ringing in my heart. Don't listen to that. It's not true. Pay attention. Be discerning. Be sober. Your faith is weak. He doesn't withdraw His hand because the promise rests on Him, not you. Remember that. The promise rests on Him, not you. So instead of striving to earn what's already been given, rest in what Christ has already accomplished. When you have these moments and you feel like, man, this relationship with God is just, it feels like there's a strain going on. What is it, God? I want you to rest in what you know is true already. Settle yourself on the core of the gospel, what you believe from the very beginning. Let your obedience flow out of gratitude. Yes, we still have to obey, but let it come out of a heart that is grateful for what God has done in our lives. Not based on guilt. Guilt won't get you nowhere. Let your good works be a response to His grace, not an attempt to purchase it, because you can't. Finally, I close with this. The fickleness of man will always be exposed when we take our eyes off of the faithfulness of God. Especially when we start to give a little bit of foothold to people that sound like they're coming from God, that sound like they're saying something true, that sound like, man, that person, what they're saying is great. But as soon as you take your eyes off of Christ and you start paying attention to these type of individuals, you open yourself up to agreeing with false teaching. Especially when we take this walk with God for granted. Don't take it for granted. Be serious about your walk with the Lord, because he's serious about you. And the cross signifies that. But when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, the promised seed, we find stability in a world that's always changing, right? This world around us is constantly changing. I can't keep up with no technology. I'm sorry. The technology of the day is constantly evolving. Some people love it, and they already know what the newest gadget is coming out. Amen. But the culture has become like that as well. And there are different forms of culture that are just invading our society, and I can't keep up with all of it. But despite what's changing around me, my stability is in Christ. Paul's message to the Galatians is God's message to us today. Stand firm in the promise. Live by faith, not by works. Trust in the unchanging God who keeps his word forever. Can we pray? Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to speak your word, to just take time with my brothers and sisters here. Though I may not know them personally, Father, you have tied us in by your precious blood. Thank you, Lord, that as a church, we are here together in unity. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, the body across the entire world is united because of your work. Father, at times we'll listen to voices out there. We'll see the platforms of ministers out there and see sometimes the largeness of their ministries, and we can get caught up in thinking that's what success is. Well, maybe you may be using these individuals for that success in the moment. But what is successful is when we are faithful right where we're at, all the way to the end, for this is a forever walk. God, help us to close our ears when there are liars next to us. And they're speaking things that don't line up with your word. Give us a heart, Father, to seek you in those intimate moments, to cry out to you in prayer, to hear your voice speak to us through your word, to guide us in this world of darkness that we are in. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for the church here at SBC. I pray blessings upon them, Father, from the leadership onto the lay people, that God, whatever they endeavor to do, Lord Father, for your name's sake, they will be prosperous so that your glory would shine as we were singing with the first hymn, Father, that the glory of God will be represented here at SBC. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.